Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast, a show that provides real-world tips, tricks, and advice to all working mamas on how they can have a career, family, and hopefully one day break the glass ceiling. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Working Mama Podcast. It's been a couple of weeks since I've done a solo episode, so I thought I'd jump in. I've really been thinking a bit at the moment about my journey as a working mum, and I've really found that there's been quite significant stages through my experience. First of all, going on maternity leave and just that transition, then coming out of maternity leave, then going in and the transition with childcare and return to work, and then also now this year starting school. And I have to say, each has been so significant. And, you know, one term in with my son, I have to say I'm so much more aware, and I've learned a lot as well during that process of you know, having a child at school. And it's just exactly the same as, you know, when I started childcare and work and the like. So it's really got me thinking about what I'd wish I'd known beforehand, and also then how can I potentially help someone else about the transitions that I've experienced, and even what I wish I had known before I became a working mum. So I really started working mama just with this idea of, look, I just want to be able to pay it forward, and how can I help someone else? I've had my challenges, but even I'm going through everything at the same time as everyone else. And even with the podcast, it's always been about how can I pay it forward? And a number of people ask me about the journey of working mama, and I always say I just want to be able to help at least one other person. So hopefully I have through this process. So now what I'd like to do is actually go through 8 different things. There might be more just along the way as I come up with it, but that's what I've sort of planned around. 8 different things that I wish I'd known before I had become a working mum. So without further ado, we'll get into it. Number one, each stage has a transition and its challenges. And it's just like anything. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day, I think even on LinkedIn, about, you know, that particular point in moment, we think it's the most challenging. And then once we get through it, you know, put one foot in front of the other, we get out of it going, oh, okay, that's good. I got out of it. I learned something, and it wasn't as bad upon reflection. But at the time, when you're in the trenches, oh my goodness, geez, you know, sleep and when with a newborn is challenging, and sleep training, or, you know, schedules, or however you like to think about it, or how you want to structure it, not saying right or wrong way or not, but every stage has challenges. So as I said, going on maternity leave, like that transition, the first time round, I literally had half a day, and then my world transformed. I found out on the Monday I was having a baby on the Friday, but that night my mum had a stroke. She's alive, she survived, but you know, it definitely changed my world for that week. It wasn't much of a maternity leave, you know, that whole, you know, nice 4 weeks, that'd be nice. But then also then coming out of, you know, maternity leave, returning back into work, I had to fight for my role back and really had to advocate for myself. I didn't really know what I was doing, and I was really lucky. I had a good friend of mine that's an employment lawyer, and also some friends that are in HR that really helped me navigate and guide me through it. There was childcare challenges. You know, even going from one child to 2 children is so much harder than I thought, than I realize now, than actually going from 0 to 1. It's one of the biggest things I say to mums, of like, when I first say to them, do you want any advice? Going from 1 to 2. Like, yeah, I said, look, it's going to be more challenging from 0 to 1. But then also now I have to say the school transitions, and having one child in school, another one in childcare, I feel like my alerts on my phone, just, I need an admin support just for that. But every stage has its challenges. But also what I've learned is that there's those challenges, and when you're in the thick of it, as I said, it's hard to get through. It feels like quicksand, but inch by inch you get out of it and you learn from it, and then you can then move on, and then it becomes normal. And then it's just like the leveling up, I think they say, from a personal perspective, that you're leveling up and you're there. But I have to say, I've experienced every stage having its challenges, and just like with the kids with leaps and the different significant elements. And I didn't know that before. I thought, return back to work, it'll be fine, and this and that, and even starting school. I honestly thought that'd be easy, and the transition. Pretty much the opposite. So that side, you know, those different transitions, now I'm like, right, okay, I'm prepared for it. Right, what's going to happen? But yeah, just one of those things. Number two is about sharing the mental load. I know I talk a lot, particularly say on the socials, about sharing the mental load. And even this week, I've put up a poll on Instagram to say, look, I would like to do some support for people, through a program or something. And, you know, what was the biggest topic? And people said mental load. And I also said, how do you want this? And it was either an email series, a masterclass, or a challenge, a 4-day challenge. And the two biggest were 4-day challenge and an email series. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm actually going to then create that. So stay tuned. But the mental load is so important. And I think that we often hear these stories and the patriarchal systems that we can do it all and things like that. But in reality, no, I call absolute BS on it. It only leads to burnout and exhaustion. And I'm a massive believer that gender equality actually starts at home. You know, in Western society, we're led to believe, and all the stories are, that you need to do it all. But then if you go into particularly like Chinese and Asian culture, like, you know, the first 30 days of when you've just had a child, you are literally not allowed to get out of bed. You're not allowed to do anything. There is someone there helping you through it. And it's the village that comes in around, you know, gives you food, make sure you got the right nutrients. Western culture, it's like, right, go home, look after yourself and you'll be fine. So that's also where, like, having that mental load at home and, you know, that support is so, so important. And usually what happens is that when women are on maternity leave, they'll take on more responsibility. They'll take on more ownership of various tasks. They go back to work. So then they have their home tasks that they've taken on. Then they go back to work and, you know, they've got those responsibilities. So they've essentially got these two major roles. And no doubt, no wonder, it often leads to burnout and exhaustion, which then makes people go, oh my goodness, how can I be a mum and have a career? And then it all starts to then unravel from there. So that's why I always say, you know, gender equality starts at home. Have the conversation, look at how you can divide and conquer, and it doesn't just have to be between you and your partner. It can also be between your village, outsourcing and the like. So I've done multiple episodes on this, but, you know, sharing the mental load. And I didn't realize before I had kids how important that is and how much of a difference it can make. And I know I've spoken to many, many people where it isn't so balanced and they feel absolutely exhausted, and it has actually had an impact on their careers. So really share the mental load, and I didn't realize that. Number three, something that I didn't really probably acknowledge before I became a mum, is that mum guilt is normal. And it's okay to feel it, but also, you know what? It's also okay to have a career. It's one of those things, again, it's the stories, you know, the patriarchal systems of like, right, the mother's running the household, she knows what to do, she's going to do everything there, and she's also, you know, going to just run everything. But there's also then the guilt that we're led to believe of, oh my goodness, you're supposed to be here, you're supposed to be doing this, and I think should is like a swear word for mums. But even this week, I've got, for the next 2 weeks, my son's got school swimming. And they send out this message, if you want to go, you can go. And this week, work meetings just don't make it possible. I was planning on going Friday. Unfortunately, I've got to go into a meeting and I can't get there. And so, yes, I've got my own guilt of, oh my goodness, I'm not going to see my son swimming. I'm probably going to go on Monday when it's my mum and the boys' day. But it's one of those things. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I was like, a bit of guilt. I'm like, no, Karina, don't feel guilty about this. You can find some time. It's okay. And so there's sometimes we're led to feel guilty of, you know, not being there for absolutely every single thing. Do I remember, my mum was largely a stay-at-home mum. Do I remember everything that she went to? No. But do I remember that one time that my dad came to my school athletics? Yes. So I'm not to say like just the exception, not the norm, but I'm also saying that if you miss one event, one assembly, one childcare thing, you know what? It's actually okay. We're just led to believe that we should be doing everything. But it's, you know, we don't have to, and we, you know, it's okay to do something else. And, you know, it's always aligned with what your values and your why are and things. So it is naturally, for some reason, I don't know what it is, mums definitely do feel more guilty than fathers. It's normal to feel it, accept it, that it's okay and it's normal. And just you work on trying to minimize that guilt, and just know that it's there. And rather than trying to just get rid of the mum guilt, I've like, okay, I've got it and I've just learned to live with it. It's probably not necessarily the best thing, but it's also one of those things I wish I'd known as a, you know, beforehand of going, just knowing 98% of the time, I think it's the statistic of mums will feel mum guilt each and every day. But you know what? It's just normal. It's kind of like normalizing mum guilt rather than making us feel bad for having it. It just means that we care, really, and that we want to be there for our kids. You know what? And that's okay. So number four, there's often this talk of balance. But you know what? I call, again, BS on it. In reality, it doesn't happen. I'd love to actually meet someone that thinks, yep, I've got equal balance on every single day, 365 days of the year, that is got, you know, work-life balance. Because you know what? There's something that always is going to dominate. There might be a sick child. There might be something that's happening at work. There might be something with family, even society and the world. Is there actually going to be 50-50 and the equal balance between both? Probably not. Like, we spend 8+ hours of our day, you know, with work, and then there's a few hours either side. So naturally, our balance there is more towards work at times. But on weekends, it's going to be more on family. And so it's really there. Something each and every day, and probably even the hour, is going to dominate. Do we have balance between probably our kids? No. Because one's probably going to be demanding of the other. So this notion, again, of those stories that we're led to believe that we need to have balance. And, you know, I remember for kids, it's like, oh, you know, work-life balance and trying to be, you know, you won't necessarily be able to work as much as you want because you've got to be there for your kids and you should be doing this. And I was like, okay. Well, I've discovered that balance for me is working 4 days, not 3 days. I couldn't make 3 days work. Yes, I've got a senior role in my corporate gig, but it was just too much. I couldn't find the balance between my family life and my work life. So what did I do? I then just upped my days, and I have to say 4 days is the perfect balance for me. I fill my cup on one day of the week with just my mummy and the boys' days. I've got my weekend, then I've also got my 4 days where I'm all in on work, and I'm still there for my kids as well. So you know what? That's what happens for me and that. So why should it be that we have to try and find this equal balance? I like to think about it as harmony. And so then we can, you know, I'm kind of like the conductor of my life and my world. And I'm just trying to make sure that everyone's singing and pretty much trying to get them singing off the same song sheet. Doesn't always work. But you know what? That's what I'm trying to do, and to find my harmony of everything working in together. You know, sometimes harmony for me is just like tonight when my kids, surprisingly, actually one child, not the other, one child actually ate dinner with mostly not too many complaints. So I was happy. For me, that put harmony into my world, particularly at dinner time. So number five, and I think that I experienced this definitely when I was pregnant, where everyone has an opinion. And everyone wants to give you all their advice and all their thoughts and things like that, which I, you know, I think it's great. You certainly learn off others and we learn through observation. But then I didn't realize as well, and I was used to the advice, you know, being pregnant, I'd seen that from a lot of people, but I didn't realize as well the probably sometimes the judgment and even the subtleties around the opinions on your setup. And I've even had this, you know, from family as well of, ooh, how's that going to work? And what about this and things like that? So everyone's going to have an opinion of the setup, but I think it's also important to remember that everyone has their own journey and you don't need to compare yourself. As I said, you know, people have questioned me about 3 or 4 days and also about when I return to work and even as well when I've worked, you know, interstate or I've gone overseas with work and things like that. So even just some of those things, opinions on how to make it work or even that they won't travel. And I'm like, I'll travel. But then it comes back again to something else of should I be feeling more guilty about not doing this and things like that. So it's interesting that the opinions and the observations is different for everyone. And I never probably thought some of the judgment, particularly going from 3 to 4 days. And the reason, you know, why I was doing it, I was like, I can't be both. And to an extent as well, I was probably more quality over quantity with my kids. I'm definitely not the stay-at-home mum type. But yeah, it was interesting. And I probably wasn't prepared for that as much as what I would have thought of, you know, but it also helped me getting through it, made me realize that my values and my why and the decisions of what I was making them for wasn't necessarily for, you know, other people. It was actually best for both me as well as my family. Number six, I think I've probably mentioned this so much throughout, and, you know, if you've listened to a few podcasts, you probably would have heard me bang on this quite a bit. It's about knowing your why and your values and how important they are to you. As I said, I didn't probably consider these as much and probably put the importance of these as much until I've really, even through this working mama journey, about the value of knowing your why. And I think also really there of going from 1 to 2 children, for me, my values didn't really not so much change, but the priorities, you know, of really understanding and the logistics and knowing my why as well, really probably crystallized, I think, as well with 2 kids. And I've had my journey of having children. And so I think that also then really was what was important to me and made me really evaluate that as well. And also my values and my why have certainly shifted about, you know, my work days and my work hours and what I do for I do, and also valuing as well self-care. And that's one thing I've really made sure I'm, particularly this year, I'm like, no, I'm quite in tune a lot more. And I wouldn't say I'm what's great at the moment, but about, okay, right, I've got to fill my cup and what am I going to do to even just get a mental break and things like that. But I've probably thought before I became a mum, you just like all in, there you go. You probably didn't need to fill your cup as much as what you did before kids, but I think even more with kids, it's so important to fill your cup more now than I think beforehand. Interestingly though, you've got a lot less time to. But yeah, I think before becoming a mum, as I said, I didn't really appreciate the importance of about knowing your why and what your values are and how that can really be, you know, important in particularly, say, setting your boundaries, what you want to do from a family setup. Like, for example, my husband and I make sure that we're every night eating dinner with the kids, and that for us is just so important. And before I had kids, I was probably like, oh, look, that'd be a nice to have maybe when they're a bit older. But we've done it when the kids are both young, and I think it's then made an impact, hopefully in a positive way. So it's just one of those things that when you start to reflect, you're like, oh, I thought I'd want to do this, but then it's happened this way. And yeah, if someone had told me, really think about this and some of these questions before I'd become a mum, I probably would have sat down for that half a day that I had of actually questioning it and reflecting on it in a positive way. Number 7 is also accepting that I have changed as a person. Everyone says, yes, motherhood has changed you. But I don't think I really accepted and acknowledged before I became a mum how much that it was going to. Even like the journey of working mama, if someone had said to me before I'd fallen pregnant, this is what you're going to do. You're going to start a podcast. You're going to start a community, a membership and a program and things like that, that, you know, and your LinkedIn feed will be focused in on this. I'd be like, no, it's not going to happen. I would never have thought about it. But then there's been different circumstances that have led to where I am today. And it's that identity. And one of the things that I have to say really crystallized it for me was hearing the term matrescence. And I honestly had never heard of this topic until I was recording a podcast about it. And it was honestly the biggest light bulb moment that helped me realize and also accept my transition into motherhood. So if you've heard of the term adolescence, of like, you know, when a child becomes an adult, you know, being adolescence, matrescence is when you know, that process of becoming a mum. And I have to say that, you know, naturally my family has impacted elements of my career and my work hours and definitely so much of my view of the world. Even today I was getting angry about school funding between, you know, private and state, and because it was very weighted to private schools. And I was like, oh my goodness, before I had kids, I would never have thought about it in this way. And my whole world naturally changes when you have kids. But even in myself and how I view myself, even my confidence in some regards, my self-doubt and things like that have, I think, been there, but then have almost been heightened. So I'd say as well, I've probably got to know myself, and certainly my emotional intelligence and things like that has been, you know, refined, I would say. And part of that as well is through the process of Matrescence. And it's the most powerful piece of work. There's a whole lot of training and things like that that I could never give it justice, but I think it's so powerful even just to be aware of it. And for me, as I said, before I became a mom, even I didn't know about it until I actually started doing this podcast. And we've spoken about it a number of times with different guests, and it's the most light bulb moment. You're going, oh my God, I wish I'd done this, because it just validates the changes that I'm feeling emotionally, spiritually, and physically as well. And just that journey. So just being able to put a name on it, I have to say, I wish I'd known about it. And even it was talked about more to help you feel validated about that identity shift. And number eight, I would have to say, is probably one of the most profound things. And I have to say that I'm still working at it every single day. And that is my mindset. I never realized how much, before becoming a mum, how much my mindset can influence my life in so many different ways. And I think when you've particularly got a newborn, you go through so much self-doubt, identity shift, and you know, you've got no idea what you're doing with a young child. There's no guidebook. No one, yes, you can read everything in the world, but no one's going to tell you why that cry is what. And you know, the book may say, yes, they need 2 hours sleep, but geez, getting them off for that 2 hours is a challenge in itself. And like for me, I had no idea that I wasn't feeding my son enough. I assumed, yep, breastfeeding, it's all good. But no, it turns out he wasn't actually getting enough milk. I didn't know this at the start. And, you know, he lost weight and it wasn't great. And your confidence goes down and you can spiral. But also conversely, last year, I wasn't in a great space, great mindset. I was going through a lot of self-doubt and my mindset, I worked with a mindset coach to help me turn it around. So I really did seek help, something that I probably wouldn't have done before I'd become a mum and actually been, you know, open to it. And even through this working mama journey, I realized that, you know, I was aware of some of these topics. And the mindset, I have to say, was just, and the work that I did was profound. And it was something that I learned last year. I'm a lot more in tune with it this year. But even at the moment, I'm going through a bit of self-doubt. And it's also those stories that we tell ourselves. And as I came back to before, and I was saying earlier about the patriarchal systems, what society's telling you, even what other people telling you, people around you, you know, they say you're the sum of the 5 people that you spend the most amount of time with. So if you're getting different stories, you will then start to think, oh my goodness, can I do this? And that self-doubt, or, oh, I thought I was going to be this way, but I'm actually going maybe a different way. And so much of that is the mindset, the stories that we're telling ourselves to lead us believe, you know, the way that we are. And even with our kids, if they're told, oh, that's big and scary, you might not be able to do it, they'll probably believe that. But if you told them, get up to the top, you can do it, and that self-belief, they probably will be able to climb that. So it's those stories and that really go into form our mindset. And it's something that I'm constantly working on. But even probably up until 2 years ago, if someone had said to me, your mindset, you need to work on it constantly, I would have gone, yeah, okay, I'm very aware of it. I've done my master's in management and understand a lot of that leadership element. But I have to say that it's not until that it was there, you know, pretty much that, you know, looking reflective, you know, mirror, holding up to yourself going, oh my goodness, like I've had so many moments, particularly in the probably last 12, 18 months of self-doubt, imposter syndrome, and it can be debilitating, but it also can have an impact on not only your career, your family, but also how you view and see yourself. So that was one thing that, yeah, I guess But I now look also back going, oh, even as a child, I probably needed to work on my mindset and just being in tune with that. So it's something that as a mum, I've had moments of a lot of self-doubt, I think, as we all know. But it's also one of those things that just being able to, if someone had said to me like, right, you're going to go through some of these journeys or in that self-doubt or just manage your mindset and think about the stories you're telling yourself and things, I'd be like, oh, okay, all right, I'll be aware of it. And I'll, you know, may be able to catch myself in the moment. But even now, I can catch myself. And that's only because of the last 12, 18 months I've been actually doing some work on it. So I'm now almost 6 years into my parenting journey. And so, yeah, it's something that I've only just learned now that I wish I'd known a few years ago. So, I hope, you know, these, just to recap about the 8 things that I wish I'd known before I'd become a working mum. Number one, that each stage and transition has its challenges. Sharing the mental load is important. Mum guilt is normal, but it's okay to feel it. There's talk of balance, but it doesn't happen in reality. Instead, for me, it's been more like work-life harmony. People will have an opinion of your setup, but everyone has their own journey and don't compare yourself. Number 6, know your why and what values are important to you. Number 7 is about accepting that you have changed and understanding and being aware of the term matrescence, the journey into motherhood. And number 8, and I would say the most important thing that I wish I'd known before I became a mum, was about the importance and value of your mindset and needing to back myself, particularly as a working mum, and the self-belief that yes, I can be a mum and I can have a career. So I would love to hear what you may have, you know, wish you'd known before you'd become a mum. So feel free to hit me up on the socials at workingmama.com.au and, you know, on the Instagram at Working Mama Community or on LinkedIn. And as always, I'd really appreciate if you'd be able to share this episode maybe with a new mum that might be expecting, or, you know, even the Working Mama podcast, to help others that are going through their journey of becoming a working mum and navigating that path forward, because you can be a mum and also have a career. So until next time, I will see you soon. Bye and have a great day. Thank you for listening to the Working Mama podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast catcher. Please also feel free to contact me on any of the Working Mama social channels. Remember, Mama is MUMMA, or website www.workingmama.com.au. I would appreciate you to share this podcast with friends and colleagues, especially those that are parents managing the juggle. And I would really appreciate if you had to take the time out to leave a review of the podcast. Thank you and see you next time. Have a great week.